The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It is Monday, March 29th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me here in the studio in Portland, Oregon, my good friend, the maestro, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today?
Oh, we are so happy, John. We've got all sorts of great stuff to tell people here in the studio. Before we do, let's not forget to introduce our good friend and my half-half sister up in Astoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Today.
Oh, hi, Carrie. How are you?
Pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you on the line now, and we're very happy to have you here because I understand that they're building ARCs up there in Astoria today.
Well, actually, right up until the show started, maybe about 10 minutes before the show, it was pretty wicked here. All night long, 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts, dark power going on and off.
Oh,
but
man.
There's a rainbow over the Columbia River right now, and I think we're sending some sunshine your way there to Portland.
Hang tight.
It's on its way.
Sure hope it gets here soon. I had to go out and drive just a little bit today, and it was coming down in buckets, and I pulled up right behind this Subaru while I was driving because... Well, we're in Portland, and everyone drives Subarus and Priuses and stuff.
Hey.
It's true. And so I pulled up right behind it. It had a little tiny bumper sticker, like a real small one. You had to get real close to be able to see it. And it said, "Real Portlanders get wet." And then it had an umbrella with a circle slash through it, right? Real Portlanders get
that's
wet.
That's right.
So that's pretty true. Now, Cannabis Carrie handles our headlines that we do right after the first break. So what stories do we have today?
Well, we're going to revisit that all-important Supreme Court case from California, the People versus Patrick Kelly that happened back in January. We're going to see what has happened since that ruling. We're also going to go back down to the border. I have a short report on the Sentry program, and we're going to cover a little cannabis on the television, some that didn't happen this weekend, but some that will happen this week.
All right. That's great stuff, Carrie. We'll get right back to you and talk about that right after our first break. Before we do, I do want to make some announcements, and most of all, the reason I was out for my trip today was that we got a whole bunch of new studio gear donated to us by one of our listeners, Rola J. Congrats. Thank you very much, Rola J, for that donation. We appreciate it. Let me show you what we'll be hooking up. Got ourselves a tube channel compressor limiter. Very nice here. It should help us with the volume on the show. We have a digital effects processor. This should give us all sorts of cool special effects for the voices, so I can bring back the old Reefer Madness voice and all those other good things. And what that means here... here is that our schedule will be a little different for today. Normally, we would do replays right after we finish with the show. I have my tax appointment today, as well as having to hook up this new studio gear. So there will be some interruption in the regular replays for 3 o'clock and for 5 o'clock. I do hope to have everything up and running by 7 o'clock. So stay tuned for that, and we'll get that up for you as soon as we can. We got plenty more to tell you about here on Normal Show Live. Coming up right after the break, we've got our news, and then at 20 after, we've got our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Roots Monday. Cannabis Carrie will be bringing us some great tunes for Roots Monday from Morgan Davis, a song called The Reefer Smoking Man. And then we don't have guests on today's show. Today's show is just going to be chock full of ranting. At the bottom of the hour, there's an article in the Santa Cruz Examiner, which takes me to task for an article I wrote in the Huffington Post. So I will defend myself about the criticisms in that article, such as they were. And then at the end of the show, another Huffington Post article. This one was in their living section, and it was about celebrity drug deaths. And I have some comments I'd like to make about that before we get all blown out of proportion about celebrities who die from drug overdoses. So plenty of that coming up here on Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and we'll be right back after we play a few messages from our sponsors. Please make sure to visit our sponsors. They help us keep this show on the air. We are completely listener supported. And since we're run by the Normal Foundation, your donations to us are tax deductible. Send me an email at stash@normal.org if you'd like to know more.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do it.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
In the important California Supreme Court case of the People versus Patrick Kelly, California Supreme Court judges ruled that the California Compassion Act of 1996 allowed patients and their caregivers to possess quantities that are consistent with the patient's needs. That happened back on January 21st. This is regardless of the limits set by the state's guidelines adopted in 2004, which is 6 mature plants and 12 immature plants, along with 8 ounces of processed and dried marijuana. Now, in the case of Patrick Kelly, it was decided that the legislature cannot modify a voter-passed initiative. This move did not throw medical cannabis limits out the window, but it did allow patients who were arrested based on the amount of cannabis they possessed to have a defense in court. A number of felony marijuana cases have been tossed out of court since the ruling. A husband and wife who have been defending themselves for the last 2 years in Northern California were the first to have their case dropped after the Kelly verdict. Both sides had agreed to put the case on hold until after the Supreme Court decided the Kelly case. In Northern California earlier this month, the police thought they had an open and shut case against a couple when they seized over 2 pounds of pot from their house. The case was tossed because they both had a doctor's authorization for that amount. In San Francisco, a case against a father and son that were suspected of trafficking their medical marijuana was also dismissed with a medical need defense. The Associated Press is reporting that the number of dismissals and acquittals that have been prompted by the ruling are starting to stack up. Shasta County District Attorney Gerald Benito dismissed a case earlier this month and is considering dismissing several more because of the ruling. Another case that was being watched to help the California case define what a reasonable amount of medical cannabis is was the Matthew Zugsberger case. He had been charged with trying to take 3 pounds of cannabis out of Sacramento on an airplane. The jury deliberated for 3 days and came back with a very muddled conviction for transportation and misdemeanor possession, but then they dropped the felony possession. Nothing answered there, so California courts are looking for the next case that may guide them through the maze of medical marijuana laws.
Boy, this is always a tough thing to report on because there's kind of two sides to the story. You know, everybody wants to talk about, you know, what's a reasonable amount that's allowed for patients. But first of all, the Supreme Court was absolutely right in People v. Kelly. The SB 420 limits of 8 ounces, 6 plants, and 12 seedlings was unconstitutional because, like she said, the initiative, Prop 215, was passed by the people, and according to the California Constitution, only the people can modify an initiative. So SB 420 now exists as a floor, not a ceiling. And the meaning behind that is, if you have less than 8 ounces, less than 6 plants, less than 12 seedlings, then it's pretty well settled that you're using it for medical purposes, you know, assuming you have your medical recommendation. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. In certain counties where they don't feel so good about medical marijuana, like, say, San Diego, you could be hassled even if you had less than 8 ounces. It's a possibility here. And so even the patients that have more than 8 ounces, these cases Carrie mentions with 2 pounds or 3 pounds, those could very well, very easily be defined as being for personal medical use. Here in Oregon, we have a limit of 24 ounces, right? Pound and a half. If you got a couple, both of them are patients, that would easily be 3 pounds. But the problem that we encounter with this is that so long as there exists this dichotomy between the medical users and the non-medical users, and so long as the medical users are allowed and the non-medical users are criminals, allegedly, we have the problem of police having to sort out who is who, which is which. And police like bright lines in the law. Police like to be able to say, all right, if you're above this, we can arrest you, and if you're below this, we can't arrest you. And that's the way it works in Oregon and some of these other states with a hard, bright line limit. And we can argue about whether the limits are too high or too low, but we can't argue about the fact they do provide a bright line to protect patients from arrest when you're below that line. So I always find it ironic that there's a lot of people who are against bright line limits and against even going forward with legalization under the premise here, and we'll talk about this later in the show, under the premise that somehow legalization is worse than what we have now, because with People v. Kelly, people could have 3 pounds, 4 pounds, 5 pounds. But the irony of it is without that bright line limit, patients are still subject to arrest, and a judge has to sort out whether or not your 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 8 pounds, 20 pounds is medical reasonable or not, right? So these people who always have this conspiracy theory about normal wanting to keep it illegal so that there can be, you know, plenty of court cases to line the pockets of defense lawyers, you know, because criminal defense lawyers get so rich. The same people who have that theory are the ones that are against the bright lines that would make it that there would be less arrests of patients and therefore less cases for normal lawyers to take. We'll keep an eye on this, and we'll see how this goes. But I also want to remind folks in California that what goes on there affects all the other states that are trying to get medical marijuana passed. So when somebody gets pulled over with, say, 80 pounds of marijuana in their trunk, and they make an argument that it's all for medical use, that makes it harder for the people in the East Coast states that are afraid of medical marijuana to take it seriously. They start to say, oh, well, see, it's obviously a cover for drug dealing. It's obviously a cover for people that just want to get high. And I don't think that it is, but I'm just telling you how it plays out on the East Coast. So I would encourage Californians to find a way, maybe an initiative or something, to come up with some sort of reasonable limits for patients. Maybe not a hard, bright line, but something that allows doctors to specify a specific amount or some way to make this a little bit clearer for law enforcement so patients don't have to get arrested to test the law.
A program run by the Customs and Border Protection called Sentry, which stands for Secure Electronic Network for Travelers Rapid Inspection, found almost 90 pounds of marijuana last week. The program helps registered companies move quickly across the border. Less than 10% of the trucks signed up for the program are stopped for no more than 20 seconds. Most are just waved through for their participation. To enroll in the Sentry program, companies agree to adopt security measures like background checks on employees, cable locks on all containers, and maintaining a secure facility to house their trucks using fences and cameras. The list of companies enrolled is secret, but many of the almost 10,000 trucking companies that are in the program advertise their membership, which can make their drivers targets for smugglers that can threaten or offer the drivers bribes. A hardworking truck driver might be making a deadly mistake to refuse the bribe from a Mexican drug gang member. In the case last week, Customs and Border Patrol arrested the driver, 22-year-old Michelle Renee Devora of El Paso, Texas. Now, she may or may not have known about the cannabis cargo, but it does go to show you that the Trusted Shipper Program relies on just that, trust. This may not be the best system to protect our borders or the truckers that carry products into the U.S. Devora is being held without bond in an El Paso County jail.
The scary thing about this, when I think about this Trusted Shipper program, is not the marijuana that might be getting across the border, you know, but the idea that terrorists could use these same routes and these same techniques, right? You know, any, you know, marijuana is a pretty bulky product as far as trying to get it across, you know, federal lines, across international lines. And it's pretty easily detectable through drug sniffing dogs that can smell marijuana. So if you can devise a way to get a few bales of marijuana across the border without detection, then those same techniques are going to work really well for getting explosives across the border or nuclear materials across the border. The idea that we would have a trusted shipper program that we would allow people to buy into, and make no mistake, this is all about money, this whole trusted shipper thing. This is about the companies that have more money being able to buy their way to the front of the line and get express service across our borders. You know, it reminds me of what they did in Disneyland, where they allow people to buy express tickets to, you know, cut in front of the line. If you got more money, you manage to get through. Well, who has more money these days than Mexican drug dealers, right? Who's got the money to be able to bribe any trucking company or to bribe any driver or to bribe any customs official on either side of the border to let their trucks through or to not have their trucks be searched at all? Right? This is what's happening here with this Trusted Shipper program specifically, and with all of our so-called homeland security in general, where we allow these sort of exceptions to go through to grease the palms of the people who have the money to allow the economics to continue, and not really paying close attention to the safety issues. Of course, we all know there would be no need for marijuana smugglers to violate the Trusted Shipper program if we were allowed to grow our own marijuana here within the United States. We grow it better. We'd love to put those guys out of business and let our customs people concentrate more on dangerous shipments coming across our border.
For the cannabis-loving NASCAR fans that were looking forward to Brad Lane's Cannabis Planet logo being featured on car number 38 at the NASCAR race in Roseville this weekend, we share their disappointment. Lane with Cannabis Planet Productions has a TV show about medical marijuana that airs in Southern California markets. He was expecting his logo all over car number 38, but they were pulled shortly before the race. Lane thinks that the logos weren't allowed because of the marijuana leaves, but NASCAR is reporting that they never got the paperwork required to approve Cannabis Planet as a sponsor. Car number 38 did run in the race, but without any cannabis leaf or logo. Philip Dugan, who owns the car, says that he sought out the sponsor in an effort to bring a new crowd to NASCAR. Dugan, who is with Dynamic Motorsports, says he is frustrated. Traditionally, NASCAR has had sponsorship from tobacco, alcohol, and pharmaceutical companies. While medical marijuana missed out on television coverage for NASCAR, an all-new episode of Comedy Central's South Park this week will show plenty of marijuana leaves on their logos on Wednesday.
What?
The episode, the episode titled Medicinal Fried Chicken has Randy Marsh first in line to get his medical marijuana card, and Cartman's favorite fried chicken restaurant has been turned into a dispensary. medical marijuana is coming into the broader eye of American television.
You know, that's not too far from the truth, actually. I reported last year on a former Kentucky Fried Chicken in California that got remodeled into a dispensary, so I wonder if they picked up off of that. I'm really looking forward to that South Park episode, and, you know, as South Park is wont to do, I'm betting they're going to make fun of both sides, the pro and the con side, so this will be a lot of fun. Also, on the NASCAR story, Carrie, I just downloaded a new voice for your TomTom from NASCAR.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the only problem is it just says, left turn, 1/2 mile, left turn, quarter mile, left turn, 1/2 mile, left turn, quarter mile.
It would have to be pretty good for me to get Snoop Dogg off my TomTom. I love him in every trip I go on now.
Yeah. Thanks for the ride, Church. It's very nice. All right, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have your daily Toker Tunes. Carrie will be right back with us with some music from Morgan Davis, the Reefer Smoking Man. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back. And you know what to do. Do it well, do it quietly, do it secretly. Don't get caught. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution, and now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh, it's just been a couple of minutes, but we're going back to Cannabis Carrie out there on the beautiful North Oregon coast. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. I'm glad you're coming back out to me. I love today's tune.
Today's tune. Well, tell us all about it.
Well, it's from Morgan Davis. He's a country blues man with a long history of performing. He's been traveling across North America and Europe for the last 4 decades. Originally from Detroit, Davis grew up listening to Jimmy Reed, Tina Turner, and Chuck Berry. He later moved to California with his family, and then in 1968, he left for Canada and never looked back. Davis cut his blues teeth in the Toronto music scene in the early 70s and made a name for himself as a songwriter with a great sense of humor. Now, he's actually won some awards. He released his album Painkiller back in 2004, and he got Canada's top prize. He got the Juno Award that year for Blues Album of the Year. Now, people in America, the Juno Awards are equivalent to the American Grammys, so a very big award for Mr. Davis. We're really thrilled to have him here. According to his website, Morgan's passion for the blues has never wavered, and he fully expects to be on the road for the rest of his life. So today's tune, Reefer Smokin' Man, is from his first solo album that came out in 1999. The album's name is Blues Medicine, and this tune is all blues, righteous, cannabis truths.
All right, that sounds great. Morgan Davis, a Juno Award winner with Reefer Smokin' Man.
I'm
Daily
a
Toker
Reefer
Tunes.
Smokin' Man. I have been so all of my life. I am a Reefer Smokin' Man. I have been so all of my life. Well, now I love my reefer much as I love my wife. And folks, I love my wife. Now don't you tell me it's illegal. It's illegal in my mind. Now don't you tell me it's illegal. It's illegal in my mind. You know it's good for the spirit. Best medicine you can find. Blues medicine. Hey, hey, they say that candy is dandy. Liquor is quicker. But if you drink too much booze, you know you're bound to get sicker than a person who puffs. Can smoke a whole lot of stuff and still be able to talk. Whereas I drive across this land with a reefer in my hand. Not to mention that a party with reefer always be nice and mellow. People sitting around feeling like bowls of jello. That's why I'm a reefer smoking man. I have been since 1965. Long time. This evidence makes sense. I'm asking you folks, don't this evidence make sense? Makes a lot of sense to me. Don't this evidence make sense? Uh-huh. Don't this evidence make sense? Wow, wow, wow. That's why I'm a reefer smoking man. I am a reefer smoking man.
Smoking man, that's Morgan Davis. Love to have him here on the show. Thank you so much, Cannabis Carrie, for bringing that up. Let's take a moment here to discuss a few things happening in the world of Normal. I just wanted to announce and congratulate Ann Davis from Normal, New Jersey. She is the new executive director of Normal, New Jersey. Pulling up a shot of her on the cam right now. Met her, that shot's from 2008, met her at the Normal conference, and now she's executive director of Normal, New Jersey, taking over for Chris Goldstein, who's now going to work a little bit more intensely with Philly Normal. So that's great news. Congratulations to Ann. Also, also got paperwork right here. Just got faxed to me today. This one's from University of Tennessee Chattanooga, which has now formed a normal chapter, so UT Chattanooga. And, oh, I'm so happy about this one. Been talking to this guy for a while. The blues man, who's often in our chat room, has just turned in his paperwork for Normal, Louisiana. That's right, Normal, Louisiana in the house today. We'll have all that posted up on the Normal website later on if you'd like to get in touch with them. If you'd like to form a Normal chapter, it's easy to do. You just got to get yourself and four other people, a total of five, to form your board of your nonprofit organization. For more information, send an email to start@normal.org. We'll be right back after this. I'm going to talk about an Examiner article. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
All right, folks, for today's Reefer Madness, usually I'm taking on a prohibitionist, a Reefer Mad prohibitionist who's anti-marijuana, but every now and then I get to take on someone who's allegedly pro-marijuana, but often has some crazy stuff to say. Now, to be fair, I made the invitation for the author of this article to join us on the show, and so far have not received any word back, but the author, J. Craig Canada, is welcome to join us anytime he likes. He's got an open invitation for a 15-minute segment if he'd like to explain some of the stuff in his article. The article's entitled, Normal Reaches Out and Slaps Medical Marijuana Patients. So that was a little controversial at the beginning here. Now, there seem to be about four different themes in this article that are really kind of disparate. A lot of it has to do with the tax cannabis initiative that's happening in California to regulate and tax the sale of marijuana to adults 21 and over. And a lot of controversy listed in here, Dennis Perone's opposition to this tax cannabis initiative and so on. But, of course, the part I want to focus on is where the author goes off against NORML in general, and me in particular. Calls me out by name, so I wanted to address some of this. First of all, he has a lot of problems with the idea of taxing and regulating marijuana. When Oakland passed the tax on medical marijuana dispensaries that came out a couple years ago, Alan St. Pierre had praised this, saying this is a time that shows that these outlets are willing to contribute to society and so on. And, of course, the author has a big problem with medical marijuana being taxed, you know, being taxed as a medicine. He also goes further to talk about the Arizona government just recently passing its taxing of medical marijuana. They just passed a bill we reported on last week where they will tax medical marijuana and include a $20 per ounce luxury tax on medical marijuana if it passes in November. So I'd like to make something pretty clear about my personal position on taxing. I'm all for tax and regulate marijuana when we're talking about it being a consumer commodity, because everything is taxed and regulated. You know, I went and got this super big gulp at the old 7-Eleven. Didn't have to pay tax on it here in Oregon because we don't have sales taxes. But the business that put that out had to pay some taxes, had to pay some business taxes. And in the other 48 states that have sales taxes, people have to pay sales taxes on consumer goods. You know, if you want to go buy a tomato at the store, you got to pay some sort of tax on it in most states. So in that context, I don't have a problem with marijuana being taxed. I do have a problem with taxing medical marijuana. I've always believed, and this just comes from, you know, my own political background, I don't think any medicine should be taxed. I don't think taxing medicine is a good idea. For that matter, I don't think we should tax staple foods either. You know, I think that, you know, people's food and medicine needs should remain untaxed. However, in the scenario that we've got right now, where medicines are taxed in most states, you know, if you go and get you know, an over-the-counter prescription or whatever, oftentimes you're paying a tax on that. In that context, if other medicines are going to be taxed and marijuana is to be treated as other medicines, then I don't see why that's a problem, why taxing medical marijuana is a problem. I do see a problem with these so-called sin taxes or luxury taxes on top of the other taxes. But again, when Oakland passed this, you know, they passed it with 80%. Right? So I didn't see a ton of opposition from people saying they didn't want to be taxed, because a lot of people realize that the taxing argument is the way that we gain legitimacy, is the way that we become part of the mainstream once they understand that we are just like any other commodity. So I do understand the author's point of view with respect to medicine taxing, and it is a thorny situation there. So I'll give them that right off the bat. But let's get down to the brass tacks here, where he comes out here and attacks me. Basically, I had written this article on the Huffington Post on March 3rd that was entitled "Medical Marijuana's Not Getting Any Better." And the point of the article was that since California legalized medical marijuana in 1996, over the past 14 years, every medical marijuana law has gotten successively more restrictive as they've gone on. Right. And in that 14-year span, we've had 9 million arrests of people like me who are non-medical users of marijuana, people like you who are non-medical users of marijuana. So when is it our turn? Right. When this first came out, when the whole medical marijuana argument was first being made, they said patients need to be at the front of the line. You know, we need to get the sick and dying off the battlefield in the war on drugs. And that's great. We all agreed. Yes, absolutely. A sick person, a dying person, someone in chronic pain definitely deserves to be in the front of the line for legal protection for the use of marijuana. Absolutely. But for how long? For how long are the rest of us supposed to stay at the back of the line? And my entire thesis of the article was that medical marijuana laws could not have been passed without the support of non-medical users. Now, they don't have demographics on this. They don't break down exit polls by do you or do you not smoke marijuana. But I'm willing to bet that the people who smoke marijuana in California probably voted for Prop 215, at least 95% of them or greater. Those who voted probably supported Prop 215. If it were up to patients alone and people with compassion for patients who don't use marijuana, I don't think the medical marijuana laws would have passed. I don't think they would have had enough votes. It had a lot to do with those of us who use marijuana for our own personal reasons. And in the article, he goes on to say, I have glaring factual errors and I don't have a clue, or perhaps darker forces are at work. And this starts to get into that whole conspiracy theory that, you know, normal secretly doesn't want to legalize because, you know, criminal defense lawyers are making so much money defending misdemeanor pot cases. Anyway, so this goes on. He goes on to criticize more of my article, even going to say that medical patients can't do enough for social users. And there's even another line in here where he says there's nothing Belleville won't do to bully medical marijuana users into supporting this Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative. Well, those are fighting words, if you ask me, because my wife is a patient. My engineer here is a patient. Nearly every single friend I have in the state of Oregon is a medical marijuana patient. And to accuse me of wanting to bully them is some pretty strong language. What I do encourage medical marijuana users to do is to think for themselves and to think about their own health and safety. because medical marijuana is a beautiful thing, but it does not go far enough. Patients still get arrested. Patients still lose their homes. Patients still have home invasion robberies and snatch and grab robberies. Dispensaries are still getting raided by the DEA. Numbers of patients, especially in the East Coast states under chronic pain, don't qualify for the new medical marijuana laws. And these laws are just getting more and more restrictive. My point is that it's in medical marijuana patients' best interests to fight for full legalization. It's only because there's this silly line that says people that need marijuana don't get arrested, but people that want marijuana do get arrested. It's only because of that line that patients have any problems whatsoever. If it's completely legal for everyone, that's when patients can use it for whatever purpose they may need to, without an overbearing restriction from the federal government and the suspicious eyes of the local governments and continued court cases. And this brings me to another point that he makes, is about how I say it's time to get the sick and dying off the battlefield in the war on drugs. And he says, no, it's the medical patients who've been on the battlefield, because they're the ones that have been in court and they're the ones that have to keep fighting for the medical marijuana law. My point exactly is they have to keep going to court, because it's not legal for all of us. That's exactly what I was trying to get across here. But he wants to point that out. He wants to push that on normal and, to some extent, MPP and DPA. I keep complaining that the medical marijuana laws get more and more restrictive. He wants to blame that on the leadership of Drug Policy Alliance and MPP. MPP for their Arizona initiative with the halo, Drug Policy Alliance for being thrilled about the New Jersey law that doesn't allow chronic pain or home growing. No, we're not thrilled about that at all. Notice, first of all, it's MPP and DPA you're talking about. But we're not thrilled about that at all. But painted into the corner we're painted into with medical marijuana, this is the direction it's going to go. It's the only direction it can go, because once you've framed it as medicine, you've framed it in the same category as needing prescriptions and doctors and prescription pads and specific dosages and specific ailments that it can use and certain security measures like pharmacies have and so on. We're painting ourselves into a medical marijuana corner here. And if the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative doesn't take off and doesn't pass this year, I have a feeling that the pendulum is going to swing back. And people are going to say, well, see, even California thinks it's gone too far. I would hate like hell to see our first legitimate chance at legalization in the fifth largest economy on the planet go down the tubes, not because the anti-pot people fought against it, because the pro-pot people are fighting against it. The I got's mine crowd. I'm a patient. You're a criminal. I got's mine. I got's my dispensaries where I can go shop. I've got my dispensary where I can sell my $3,000 pound. I got's mine. Why do I need to worry about you? The 9 million of you that have been arrested over the past 14 years while I've got's mine. That's the attitude I'm writing against. And it's not like I'm trying to say I've got a problem with medical marijuana. By God, no. Of course I love medical marijuana. Of course patients need to be taken care of. Of course the disabled and our veterans need access to this safe, effective, most therapeutically active substance known to man. Of course I support that. If I support everybody's right to use marijuana, well then of course I support sick people's right to use marijuana. And like I've mentioned before, we were more than willing to get into the back of the line. And I remember those early days of medical marijuana when saying the word normal around a medical marijuana activist was like uttering a curse word. They didn't want to be thrown in with the legalizers. Don't throw us in with the legalizers. This is all about medical. And we were cool. We're like, all right, we'll back off. We'll back off of our message here and let you pass this medical thing. And that was 14 years ago. 14 years in 14 states, it's time to start looking out for the 95% of marijuana users who aren't medical users. You know, so many times I think that this medical marijuana and marijuana activism in general is so California-centric that they've lost touch with the people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Broussard Parish, Louisiana, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, who, driving down the road, see the cop car following behind them and feel that icy chill run down their spine as they run through their mind to think, oh my God, did I leave a roach in the ashtray? Oh my God, is there a seed in my pocket? Oh my God, am I going to lose my house, my job, my kids over this? Right? They don't have a medical card to back them up. They don't have a condition with which they can tell a jury that they have some need to use marijuana. They're just, on average, young folks and usually black or brown folks that are getting popped for marijuana arrests every day. One arrest every 36 seconds, and you wonder why we're paranoid. That's why it's time to legalize. Medical marijuana can never fully effectively work for all the people who deserve it until marijuana is legalized for all the people who want it. All right, that's a little bit of ranting on my part, and we're going to get back to this in just a little bit. There's some more stuff on Huffington Post I want to talk about with respect to celebrity drug deaths. Also, a couple more notes. We have two winners in our homegrown t-shirt contest, two more t-shirts left to give away, and we have a winner in our hemp bag contest. All those prizes, they'll get shipped out this weekend once I get paid.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of his collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never used marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine. Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to check our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. All week, the Metro Region Adopt a Highway is taking place in Wayne County, Oakland County, Macomb County, and St. Clair County through the chapters of Michigan Normal. This is where we get out there, clean up the highways. They got the big highway sign up there, Adopt a Highway, and the Normal chapter's name on it. It's just a good way to get a presence out in the community, something that makes people think that we're interested more than just marijuana. We're interested in clean environment as well. So I always say it's a lot better to be picking up highway garbage in your own street clothes as a volunteer than wearing an orange jumpsuit on the sheriff's detail. So get involved with those Adopt a Highways with your local Normal chapters. On Tuesday, March 30th, Gary Johnson, former Republican governor of New Mexico, will be at the University of New Hampshire Normal at the Granite State Room, MUB. Check that out through University of New Hampshire Normal. Details on the calendar. The Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club will be open in Kalamazoo, Michigan. This meets every other Tuesday. Check out KalamazooAreaCompassionClub.org for details on that. And New Mexico Normal would like to remind us about Hemp TV, a live call-in in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can check them out at quote-unquote.org/index-channel27.html. This link will be up on the site as well. Probably easier to copy and paste it from there. On Wednesday, March 31st, it's my dad's birthday. And it's also Madeline Martinez's birthday. Interesting coincidence there. But also happening on March 31st, a medical cannabis forum at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Time to be announced. This is a medical cannabis forum featuring Wisconsin Normal and Is My Medicine Legal Yet's Gary Stork and University of Wisconsin-Whitewater professor Dr. David Nordstrom. Speaking in favor of the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act in the state of Wisconsin. On Thursday, April 1st, University of New Hampshire Normal's having their meeting, as well as Philly Normal. They're having their meeting as well. They always meet on the first and third Thursdays of the month. Check out phillynormal.org. Friday, April 2nd, Michigan Normal's having their statewide second quarter meeting. It's open to the public at the Best Western Executive Suites in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for details. And Saturday, April 3rd, the festival season officially begins with the Ann Arbor, Michigan Hash Bash at the University of Michigan's Diag on the campus at Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is the protest that took place long, long ago with John Sinclair and 10 for 2, and still continues to this day. Noon, everyone gathers at noon for a one-hour smokeout, and then they head off to the Monroe Street Fair in Ann Arbor, Michigan, not far from the Diag. For more information, check out minormal.org. Also on Saturday, KC Normal has their public meeting, kcnormal.org or 888-KC-NORMAL. To get more details. And finally, a Wisconsin Normal fundraiser in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Miramar Theater this Saturday. For more information, check out winormal.org. That's our cannabis community calendar. And again, you can look up all of these things at normal.org/calendar. All right, so to continue on, I have one more article that I wanted to go off on. This was also in Huffington Post today in their living section. And it's a subject that we, you know, we deal with a lot here when we talk about Hollywood and celebrities, and that is the problem of drug overdoses. And this is something that the article writer wanted to talk about, and I thought it deserved a bit of reply because I always find that these things get a little bit overblown. The thing opens up with this paragraph, and I'm having troubles with the browser here, so give me just a second here. It opens up with this paragraph that says, "What do Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, River Phoenix, John Belushi, and Michael Jackson all have in common? Well, I can tell you, other than John Belushi, they all died from legal prescription drugs." There's a point to be made there. "And the one thing they all have in common, none of them died from using marijuana." So I just bring this up because the title of the article is "Can We Stop the Drug Overdose Epidemic in Hollywood?" Right? The drug overdose epidemic, as if this is something new to Hollywood, right? We can go back to the days of Fatty Arbuckle and look up, you know, drug and alcohol overdoses amongst Hollywood celebrities. But the reason I bring this up is because some of the ways they characterize drug use in this article. She likes to say in this article that in reality, dying of a drug overdose is really just a form of a larger problem, suicide. While most people who engage in drug use think they're just having a fun time and don't intend to kill themselves, they know the dangers going in and still do the risky behavior. So yes, they are taking their own life, much like the distressed businessman who jumps off a bridge or the young college student who inflicts a gunshot to her head. See what I'm talking about how this gets way overblown, saying that taking drugs is like committing suicide with a handgun or jumping off a bridge? Not really. Not unless you can jump off that bridge a couple dozen times or shoot yourself in the head a couple dozen times, have a really good time, and live to tell about it. Here's the secret nobody wants to tell anybody. Taking drugs is fun. Sorry, I know that's going to get me nailed to the cross on People magazine here for saying it, letting the cat out of the bag here. But taking drugs is fun, okay? And I know, you know, Parents Television Council and, you know, Drug Free America are probably sharpening their pencils and writing their letters right now to complain. But I'll say it again. Taking drugs is fun. That's why people take them. It feels really, really good. Now, that's not to say that you should do it. There are a lot of things that feel really, really good that you shouldn't do. But we should be honest with ourselves and with children about why people take drugs. She goes on here to say, people take them to cope with stress and they feel guilty because they've become celebrities and they have a better life than everyone. No, they take drugs because it feels good. That's why people drink alcohol, because it feels good. And we need to realize that people enjoy this sort of behavior and are always going to enjoy this behavior. It doesn't matter if we're talking about smoking marijuana, taking illegal heroin, cocaine, or speed like Belushi did, or taking the prescription pharmaceuticals that Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley died from. It doesn't matter whether they're legal, doesn't matter whether they're illegal. People who want to get a high are going to find a way to do it. So the question is, how do we treat that? by being dishonest about it, by not admitting that we have this natural desire to alter our consciousness, or by being honest about it and educating people about the real dangers of drugs, and maybe even coming up with drugs that are better. In a legal market, people aren't going to get cocaine that's tainted or meth that's, you know, made with all sorts of terrible things. In a legal market, people would have some controls over these things. There'd be some regulations. You don't find a lot of people dying or getting blindness from poison moonshine whiskey anymore because they can get a legal, regulated, pure product at the liquor store. So I just wanted to get that out. And another thing I want to bring up, too, is this idea that drug taking is some sort of immoral behavior, right? Of course, it always gets that notion because it's, you know, it's illegal. It's bad because it's illegal because it's bad because it's illegal because it's bad because it's illegal. Well, here's the deal. People like to alter their consciousness. People like to feel good. People like to get a rush. Some people do that by jumping out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute on their back. Some people get that from jumping off of a bridge with a rubber band strapped around their body. Some people like to play Texas Hold'em. Some people like to bet on the ponies, right? Some people like to flog themselves while they're chanting and making a pilgrimage to Mecca. There's all sorts of ways people get high, and we can look back even to little children who will roll down a hill so they can get dizzy, right? People like to get high. So it's no more of a moral failing to want to get that high in a chemical way than it is to want to get it in a physical way. Now, of course, we don't support anyone taking any drugs and acting irresponsibly, acting the fool. There's definitely set and setting to be employed here. But just like we don't expect people to be jumping out of airplanes with parachutes over cities and landing on our city streets because it might harm someone in the city. We come up with sensible regulations that recognize that people like to do these sort of dangerous things. We educate them about the risks. We try to provide them with some measure of safety. And we set up regulations so if something terribly wrong happens, they don't end up hurting the rest of us. So I wanted to address that idea. And another idea that she came up in this article is she talks about how, and I'll quote this here, she says, "Once you try something, you have to take the next step. It's the same with drugs. Once you get a small high, you get used to it and need a bigger and better high just to feel normal." There is some truth to that when we're talking about addiction. But guess what? Not everybody gets addicted to drugs. It's true. Not everybody gets addicted to drugs. I know plenty of people who've tried cocaine, had a good time, and that was it. They never did it again. They're like, I tried it. It was no big deal to me. Right? Even this, and this was back in the 80s, right? When they were talking about crack cocaine. Oh, crack cocaine, one hit, you'll be instantly addicted. I know people that have tried crack cocaine. They didn't get instantly addicted. They're just fine now. Same for heroin, same for methamphetamine, same for any drug you want to name. I've known people that have done it, never had a problem with it. And I know some people who have done it, gotten terribly addicted, and seen their lives crumble. But again, that's not an argument for making it illegal for the people who can handle it. Would we make alcohol illegal because, 15% of people that try alcohol end up having some sort of addiction dependence problem with it? What about tobacco? 35% of the people that try tobacco have an addiction or dependence problem with it. And yet, only 9% of the people who try marijuana ever end up with any sort of recognizable dependence on it. And even that dependence is mild and short-lived. And if you mention that you're a marijuana addict in front of a heroin, meth, or coke addict, they will laugh you out of the room. Okay? So let's be sensible about our drug policies. Let's start treating adults like adults and recognize that what a person wants to do with their own body, so long as they're not harming anyone else, is nobody else's business. And specifically, with reference to celebrities here and this basic, the basic theme of this article, I don't feel it's a celebrity's job any more than it's anyone else's job to educate our kids or be a proper role model, okay? The old Charles Barkley commercial, I am not a role model. I'm not expecting actors and actresses to provide the model for our kids. I'm expecting parents to provide the models for our kids, teachers to provide the models for our kids, our elected officials to provide the models for our kids. If you're expecting actors, actresses, and sports figures to provide the role modeling for your kids, well, you're going to see what's going to happen because of that. Let's not let's not make a big deal more of the celebrity drug deaths than we would of any other death. And if we are going to make a big deal of it, let's note that it's pharmaceuticals that are the big problem here. It's the pharmaceutical drugs that most of these celebrities are dying from. If marijuana were legal, perhaps they'd have a better alternative. Perhaps these people that get so stressed out by their celebrity lives could smoke a joint to relieve their stress and not have to worry about their entire career being flushed down the toilet because they're associated with marijuana. They wouldn't have to worry about losing the voiceover for the next Disney movie because they smoke a little pot. They wouldn't have to turn to Dr. Feelgood for the supposedly acceptable drugs that you can get by prescription. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for letting me rant. We're going to take the studio down a little bit today, so there will be interruptions in the stream. But until next time, take care of each other, tokers. For everyone here at normal.org, I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with another new show.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.